The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
He did it again. They put him in his coffin last night, closed the lid, tucked him in, and tidied everything up, opened it up, and got him out today, and reminded him that he is President Joe Biden, and he had to make a little announcement with a teleprompter. And here's how President Joe Biden pulled that one off.
We're also supplying vaccines to community health centers to reach those who have been the hardest hit and suffered the most, especially Black, Latino, Native American, and rural communities. This is really important because we believe that speed and efficiency must be matched with fairness and equity. Now, when President Harris and I took...
Excuse me, what was that, Joe? Would you repeat that, please?
Now, when President Harris and I took a virtual tour of a vaccine...
I'm glad we got that straightened out.
...center in Arizona not long ago.
They're really showing themselves to do really well. Come on, man.
All right. He doesn't know what planet he's on. Can you imagine him calling Vladimir Putin a killer? Putin said, you know, he said something very funny today. He said, well, I guess it takes one to know one. And then he challenged him, Biden, to a debate. And Biden said, through his press secretary, Ms. Psaki, I'm too busy. Sorry, can't do it. Can you imagine what the world is thinking when they watch this horror that used to be our country just a year and a half ago? It still looked like a country. It felt like a country. It is rapidly turning into a pile of rubble, third world rubble. There is no more border. It's open. The invaders are pouring in here, bringing TB, leprosy, Chagas, you name it. And they're not even being checked for that weakling coronavirus. It's over. And we let it happen. We should have been in the streets by the millions saying no more. The nation's truckers should have joined us and said no more. We're not delivering anything till this government is changed. It's about the only thing I can think of. Charlotte Iserbeet is back tonight, my girlfriend from Maine. And how are you?
Well, I'm all right, I guess, you know.
Did that magic thieves oil help?
Yes, I think that's good because I don't have any infections in my mouth, which is good. But I'm not.
There you go.
I really am very low energy. I just am going, you know, not good. And
is it from overwork?
No.
Okay, let me suggest something. Yeah. Look, finish up. What were you going to say? There's something what?
Well, you know, I had that. I was in the hospital. I went in February 5th, and I was there for 3 days. And I had that, injection. They stuck that thing up my nose, the long one with the stuff on the end of it.
Oh, how nice. How thoughtful.
Oh, yeah, well, it was very, very painful, but I think that I'm just wondering about other things, too. I was very unhappy. I wasn't asked if I wanted that. They were evidently testing me to see if I had COVID, I guess.
They weren't testing anything. Sorry.
I don't know what they were doing, but I'll tell you one thing. Yeah. 2 weeks after I had that, I noticed a big slippage in my memory. And I'd lost 50% of my energy. And I've had that ever since.
All right, we need to watch this carefully. I need to get you some carbon 60. I will try and get a bottle off to you.
What does that do?
It's nanotechnology in a bottle. Like a bottle of electrons. It's pure carbon, little tiny carbon molecules in sunflower oil. And you just put a dropper in your mouth a couple times a day. You just do it. I'll send it. And let's see what happens. It's nano to work against nano. It's the only thing that can get down that level. Now, I just gave a bottle to a friend who was same thing. I don't know how old he is, 40. And he said he was dragging.
40?
I watched him. He was 40.
Pardon?
He could barely, I'm serious. He could barely get up a good step. I said, what's wrong? He said, I don't know. I have no energy. I'm wiped out. And I gave him. A bottle, and 2 days later, he's apparently, he called and said thanks, and he's up on his feet, and he's feeling good, and so.
Well, would you do that for me? Yeah, that could be my Enstrom candies, sort of, I pretend that's what it is, Enstrom candies.
Yes. Enstrom.
I really would, but I know I don't have any energy, and.
All right, well, let me get this off to you right away, and.
All right. Write that down.
I don't need to write it down. I can still hold that thought.
Oh, you all can? Right, I can't hold any thought at the moment. I don't know how I'm going to do this. This was dumped in my lap. The stuff that I sent through to you is just so...
I don't have... Charlotte, before we get into it, this is... Friends, this is going to be something that yours truly knows nothing about. The Pilgrims Society.
Well,
I
know. Nobody
know
does know.
It
takes somebody like myself. At my age, I know about it. It was talked about a lot, after World War. Well, it was formed in 1903, but you had good writers like Baldwin, Catherine Palfrey Baldwin, way back when, around 19, in the 50s, when MacArthur got, sent a call back and they wanted him for president. You had all these women. They were actually from wealthy families in the New York area and well known, and they were fighting to keep us out of the UN, and they knew about the Pilgrim Society, and they did a lot of work then. And then I guess there must have been a tremendous effort and an effective effort to absolutely wipe it off, the name of the Pilgrim Society, off the face of the earth. Although people have probably seen that. Pilgrim Society here and there, but they see Pilgrim, and they think, oh, goody, goody, they think back to the Revolution and the Pilgrims coming over, and they don't pay any attention, and it is very, very important, and I'm sorry that you haven't got the whole thing, because I just got it today, but you will. And so your listeners who are going to wonder, what on earth is that crazy woman? She's totally going out of her mind. What is she talking about tonight? I can assure them that this information will be made, very readable and,
it's up under Charlotte's name and guests. I put that long, long scroll up there.
You put the what?
The thing you sent me. It's a scroll. When you have to scroll down the page, I put the whole thing up there. That link.
How did you do that?
You sent it to me.
Right.
It's under your name and guests.
You mean on the Pilgrim Society?
Yes.
All right. Well, good. I don't know what you did, but that's good. Now, don't get.
Well, you looked. Wait a minute. You sent me a link, and it was.
Oh, did I? Good. Okay.
It's the same link that your friend sent you about.
Oh yeah, because
see who
she
the
was
donors.
Able to. Yeah, that's
yeah.
right. That's good stuff. But I have. You see, I found this that I had all along in my files, a four pager. It's called Secret Subversive Societies. And it starts out just like this. It's written in either, I think around 1963. But it goes all the way back to history, beginning at the beginning of the last century, and Carnegie's role, the same old Carnegie, role in the formation of the Pilgrim Society. And the goal is basically to bring the United States back, even this is a direct quote, to the bosom of Great Britain. And that has always been the goal of not just the Pilgrim Society, but the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, and of course my favorite subject, the Order of Yale. Now, you see, people, your listeners are smart. They've heard a lot of the stuff I'm talking about, and they understand that the new last two generations don't know anything. They don't even know that, their state is in where it is located in the country. So it's very difficult. We've got an awful lot of re-education. I mean, what education to do? I don't know how we can do it. I think the younger people, it's the bright ones, right? Which is fortunate. The bright ones are onto what's happening, but I don't think they, and even I, because mention of the Pilgrim Society just sort of fell off the face of the earth around 1980. I always when Reagan comes into office, right? I never heard anything about it, but every single conservative organization, especially the Christian evangelicals, are members because they believe in the new theory, the kingdom of God on earth. You know what I'm talking about. And that is the goal of the Pilgrim Society. So it's all the evangelical groups that I've never, and I don't think you have either, we never could really quite understand where they were coming from.
Right.
Well, they
right.
believe in they don't have the same beliefs that we do, Christianity by any means. And all of the conservative groups, I do believe now, they'd come under that umbrella, and that is the Pilgrim Society. You have every name, elitist, all the ambassadors, just so many Foreign Service people, it makes me sick because I was in the Foreign Service. Top people, generals that you never would have dreamed. I mean, look, this killed me when I saw this. President Kennedy. Now, I had held out. I felt he was one of the few that didn't go for all this stuff. He was deeply involved in it.
Well, maybe let's cut him some slack. Maybe he had to get where he was. Maybe he went along with it. Certainly they killed him, so he didn't do everything right.
Well,
and
I
wouldn't be surprised
I agree.
If he went with the territory.
As you know, it was prior to him being killed, he had that paper, those papers on his desk. He wanted to get rid of the Federal Reserve, and he wanted to pull out of Vietnam. And so, I've been holding on to this all along, but when you read this, you'll see that he was one of the top people involved in it. Oh, dear. Well, is there any, I guess I can only, I'm going to end up only being able to trust Jeff Rentz. Do you know him? You know, that guy, that crazy guy out. Where does he live? Yeah, in Oregon? What?
Yeah. He's the one in Oregon. He doesn't use peanut butter on his teeth, though. He uses thieves' oil.
Well, I just bought some peanut butter. Let's get off this subject that is so complicated that I assure your listeners they're going to. I'm going to read them a few things to get them hungry. But I ordered some peanut butter from, you know, it's Catholic monks. And they, and the nuns and all, you know, they make this homemade peanut butter. Boy, is it ever good. Do you like peanut butter?
Yeah. Almost as much as Enstrom's.
Maybe this is natural, absolutely natural, wonderful peanut butter. Would you like some?
Sure. Thank you.
All right, fine. All right. Now, look, I've got these papers that are just so, well, you know, you can talk about the proof. I mean, I think people are going to be much more interested. They're going to know. They're going to tell your district. They're good. They're good on district. They're going to get all of it.
Hey, you got your phone pulled away a little bit. Get closer to your phone.
They're going to get it eventually when Charlotte manages to get a PDF that can be forwarded. I don't have a scanner.
I got it. I got the new one. Extraordinary new proof. Vladimir Lenin.
Oh, that's okay. That's good, isn't it? All right.
Yeah.
Why don't you read that to your listeners?
All right.
How do you like this one?
This is, I mean, these are two nuclear blasts is what they are.
I found this, after we had been dealing with the vaccine.
Yeah.
We've got to tell your listeners that the Pilgrim Society, now you're really going to get interested in it, right? I think you were just saying, oh, there they go again. Oh, yeah, Charlotte is her baby. You know, she just thinks that we know what went on 100 years ago. What?
You dropped a bomb on me today with this, and now you got another one. Here, let me read this. Extraordinary new proof.
I found this bomb about Lenin. Okay, go ahead. Read it.
Extraordinary new proof. Vladimir Lenin and communism were created by globalist newsman from the British American Pilgrims Society. Okay?
How do you like it?
Here it is. Lenin was a creation of the Pilgrim Society using P.W. Wilson, the Empire Press Chain Union, the New York Times, MI6, and their creation to control the masses, called communism. Explosive new evidence that the British American Pilgrim Society created the Vladimir Lenin Bolshevik Revolution as a false flag to destabilize Russia so British American corporations would have access to Russia's vast resources. They cracked open the walnut and walked in. This is really incredible. One more thing. Lenin's Bolshevik Revolution in 1917 was a Pilgrim Society criminal operation executed on the pages of the New York Times, Washington Post, Daily Telegraph, London Times, Daily Mail, and The Guardian, all founding members of the Empire Press Union back in 1909.
Yep. I mean, this is hot stuff. It really is. And, I mean, I just luckily, this is really, I do think the good Lord is with me sometimes. Because I was wondering, how can I remake people think this is important? You know, I thought, well, I'll look and see if I have anything else on the bill. And boom! There I came, Lenin. But, really, things are so... It's so late in the game, but
I'm quite
enthusiastic and encouraged about the reactions of Americans. Now they're really getting mad, and other people around the world are mad too. And I'm not so sure they're going to get away with all this vaccine and the G4 and all that stuff, because
5G, 6G, yeah.
What, it scared me to death in the beginning, and I'm beginning to think that they just let it go too long, because we're not, we're all at the same time we became tired of it. You notice what I mean?
Sure, I do.
There's a lot of opposition.
Yeah.
I'd say more than half the country is opposed to every single thing they're doing to us right now. And it's the same around the world. So it's become
this is a
major...
worldwide operation. Your point is well taken. This is a worldwide operation. Understand that. In Africa, the president of Tanzania, as did the president of Burundi, said no COVID vax in this country. Well, the president of Burundi last year died suddenly of a heart attack. Well, the president of Tanzania has been gone for 2 weeks. He vanished, and they found his dead body died of a heart attack because he said no to the vaccine.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm glad you mentioned this because I'm reading from the Pilgrim Society thing right here. And that's written, it was founded in 1930. But it says, Mr. E.C. Knuth states in the Empire of the City, I have some of those things from the guy who gave us all the research. Okay. The colossal political and financial organization centered in this area of London, that's what we're talking about, known as the City, operates a super government of the world. And no incident occurs in any part of the world without its participants in some form its pretensions are supported in the United States by the secret International Pilgrim Society, sponsor of the Cecil Rhodes One World ideology. Now it goes on.
Rhodes Scholars, remember? That was Cecil, for everyone out there. Cecil Rhodes set up the Rhodes Scholar Program, and people like Billy Clinton were Rhodes Scholars. It's not scholarship, it's political ideology.
Right. And it says, which was launched about 1897. The president of the American branch is Dr. Nicholas Murray Butler, who is also president of the, Allied Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Now, get this. It's very small print. The ultimate objective of this, what's that word, Camarilla, did you ever hear that one before? Was defined by one of its noted propagandist, the late William Allen White, as, quote, now I hope you're sitting down, it is the destiny of the pure Aryan Anglo-Saxon race to dominate the world and kill off or else reduce to a servile status all other inferior races. Got it?
Well, that's kind of goes hand in hand with the Georgia Guidestones and the Deagle.com. Yes, the vax is going to do it. If anything,
well, it
does,
has
that
already
looks like the tool.
In Africa. Look at these people that are dying in Africa.
Yeah.
They have been dying for several years now from these vaccines. So have targeted, because they're doing it to us too, we don't think about anybody else in the world. Americans are very bad that way. They don't realize that a lot of Africans have died. What?
That's it. It's always the other guy. Somebody else.
That's right. And so that's a very important quote. You see, these people are really racist. Pure white Anglo-Saxon. You there?
I all ears. Well, there's a few more parts, but yes.
I think we're going to have to, put this stuff together. But so you got Lenin's, can you believe this thing about, I can believe it. I can believe this because William Boyce Thompson, who was, I think, the head of the Federal Reserve, he gave $1 million to Lenin to get the Bolshevik Revolution going.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. And this seems to be, and I know that he must have been a member, was talked to Ilya, you know, Lenin was the
creation of the Pilgrim Society. Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And that makes a lot of sense. I guess Lenin didn't know what he was doing, what they were doing, but he not very smart.
Was good.
It was a false flag to destabilize Russia. No, he didn't know. So the British American corporations would have access to Russia's vast resources. I knew that that was why the money went in there. I think you knew that too. Sutton knows that. This is a bomb. What's the date of this thing? I mean, I just found it this afternoon.
I don't know who put it together. I can't find a byline date on it yet, but it's quite current. It's quite current.
Well,
both of these
2019.
Yeah, well, that doesn't mean that's when this was actually put together and released. That's the dateline of the story they're reading there. I don't know if this has been out for 2 years and no one's given it to us. I'm shocked. I don't know.
How about this? Look, I mean, it's awful to have to go on radio when I haven't even read what I'm talking about. Excuse me.
Well, this is an enormous amount of material, and it obviously has a great deal of merit. It's huge. This is not going to be easy to dismiss.
I've got two superb researchers. They are like rats with sharp teeth,
uh-huh.
And both of them, you know, they're almost overboard on loving research. You know what I mean? I'm overboard and drowned. I'll tell you, I'm so glad that they're there to do this research, and they're working on it, and we're going to get this stuff out. But we've got quite a lot, you know. It's sort of like an appetizer for your listeners, who are all extremely bright too. I mean, I felt that this was a little much to dump it on your audience because you can't dump it on a dumb audience. I mean, that would be pathetic. What would they be? I mean, they don't even speak English. But your audience is so bright. And a lot of them have probably heard about this, the British Israel, too, right? And they know this stuff. They know this history going back to Balfour. The whole thing, the Balfour Declaration, all of that is mentioned in the materials that I have. So it all links, it hooks in, but I think, you know, so often, you know, this problem with Israel is discussed in terms that are really aggravating to anybody who doesn't like to be unfair. And you just say, oh, come on, shut up. But this is new. This is new stuff. I mean, for us, right?
It is, and we know look, we've been exposed to most everything. This is a major thread of a particularly vile, evil organization, if you can call it that.
Look at that. Vladimir Lenin, ideological stooge of the British American Pilgrims.
It just amazes me. Like I say, I don't know if he even knew what was going on, but the money was good. So what the hell?
Oh, I'm sure he didn't know what was going on, no. No. Well, I mean, how could he? I don't even understand it. I mean, how many people did know what was going on?
Not very many, because the news was choked then as it's choked now. I'm going to read this again.
Talks about that. When you see all these,
come back to your phone, dear.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, okay. What I was going to read, which I can I find it?
Let me read. Yes, hold on. I got to do this first.
Okay, you go ahead.
This is really big, and I want you all to understand that the chokehold of what we call the news media, owned by six corporations, all of it, all the media, news, entertainment, it doesn't matter, is nothing new. Now listen to this. I repeat, Lenin's Bolshevik Revolution in 1917 was a Pilgrims Society criminal operation executed on the pages of the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Daily Telegraph, the London Times, the Daily Mail, and the Guardian, all of whom all of whom were founding members of the Empire Press Union, and that dates back to 1909. Control, control, control.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to wait until I can get this. And after all, how many years has it been that we didn't have this? Can you give me a week to get it? We haven't, this has been going on over a century.
Listen,
now.
I'll give you as much time as, of course, you need. Don't even ask. But when you're ready, don't wait till next month. When you have it organized and you want to, you've got a protocol to release it and discuss it, just let me know. I'll bring you right back on. We'll do that.
On the 31st. It's going to take a bit of, and I may have, and the other, I've got my little mice, research mice working on it. And so actually, we don't need much more research, but the research has to be connected.
Yeah.
And that's what I see here. So anyway,
amazing.
But there are some good books out there. I have one of them by Catherine Paltry Baldwin. She was one of those fairly wealthy, lovely ladies in New York City who, there were quite a few of them when we were going into the UN, and they were fighting like mad. And Catherine, I think it's Paltry Baldwin, wrote a book, When Men Weep or something. And I have that book. And there were books written back then about this British-Israel thing. What we're talking about tonight, huh?
This goes, look, it's Rothschilds, and it goes all the way back to, it goes back to the 1800s, the British-Israel
thing. Oh, yeah,
Israel
absolutely. You take Carnegie, right? 1903. Mm. This Pilgrim group was founded in 1903. And
you know what they say, Charlotte?
Yeah.
You know what the British say? The day Benjamin Disraeli, a Jew, the day Disraeli walked into Parliament was the end of British control of the empire, the British people.
Said that?
This is an old quote. I remember it from many years ago. The day Benjamin Disraeli walked into Parliament was the end of the British Empire as controlled by the British people.
That's brilliant, but I wish I knew who said it.
Well, maybe we'll look it up. I'll see. I'll bet I heard that 30 years ago. I never forgot it.
Well,
he was the first Jew in Parliament.
Yeah, oh yes. Well, I haven't, I've had this in the back of my mind for years. I mean, I've read most of the stuff that was written around in the 40s and 50s. I think Lindbergh knew this stuff, right? Let's talk about Lindbergh. Lindbergh. Oh, yeah. And I've got a quote in this document right here somewhere that I saw today that they were just so thrilled when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. One of their top people said, wow, thank God that happened. And what do? We lost 4,000 soldiers or sailors? I've got that quote here somewhere. But I just got a hold of this. Sorry, folks, I sound like I got a hold of it today. And how about it?
Yeah,
this is
a big one. And how could it be that none of us really had a working knowledge of this? They really have kept a secret. Whoever put that together, the first one you sent me.
Yeah.
And they're both in Guests under Charlotte's name, and I'll put them in her column as well, and I'll also put them in news headlines, so they'll be there.
It's good. They were PDFs, weren't they?
Correct.
They had to be. Now, this four-pager is dynamite that I've got. Now, that, you see, I can't do anything with that until I get somebody to make it into a PDF. For me, I don't have a scanner. Can you believe it? I know everybody says, what? How can she be a researcher without a scanner? Well, I am. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's all right.
Gee whiz,
got one of those she's got an inkwell and one of those big feathers, a quill, they call it.
Yeah, I think so. Lenin was hosted in 1905 by radical socialist MP, Member of Parliament, Philip Whitwell Wilson.
Oh, a flaming communist.
He died in 1956. There's a picture of him there.
Yeah.
Radical liberal MP hosted Lenin in 1905. My goodness. From April 22nd to May 10th, he must have spent the nights, plenty of nights there.
Sounds like
he was
Jeff
a prime
Gannon and
mover of the Imperial Press Conference. Here we go again. 1909. In 1918, he moved to the United States, and the New York Times, for his evident MI6-CIA espionage cover for over 39 years. He appears to have been the British Pilgrim Society's top man in the U.S. You would, if you saw the names on this list that I have, of course I could read that. That's not too difficult. The names of the Americans involved in this. Here are the well-known characters. Here's some of them, okay? Oh, that's CFR, sorry. Secrets, I've got to go to the... this paper I've got has all of them together, but the pill, this one, where are they? The following members of the Council on Foreign Relations attended the Pilgrim Society banquet at the Waldorf, New York, May 22nd, 1963. James Alley, Dr. Finney Baxter III, Floyd Blair, President of Pilgrims in the United States, Admiral Arleigh Burke, remember him?
Yes, they named
George
the whole
Champion.
Class of destroyers after him.
Yep. George Champion, I think he's banking or something. Eli Whitney, Deba was, I know that. Clarence Dillon, Secretary of the Treasury. Alan Dulles, you know him, former CIA head and the brother of John Foster. Dwight Eisenhower, he was a big one, completely in favor of the Pilgrim thing. I think he almost founded it. Thomas Gates, he's sort of recent. Walter Gifford.
Well, Gates, another Gates. Is he related to Billy Gates?
No, I don't think so.
No?
No, I think I remember him, Thomas Gates. He was, sort of not crummy like Bill Gates. No. Walter Gifford, Joseph Grazier, Peter Grimm, Frank Houston, John C. Hughes, Nelson Dean J., that's an important name, J., Edward Johnson, Grayson Kirk, Thomas Lamont, very important, very wealthy. They had a place on one of the islands off of Camden, one of those big financiers, and old family, Lamont, huh? Okay.
Uh-huh.
Malcolm McIntyre, Malcolm Muir, that sounds familiar, Robert D. Murphy, my father knew him. He was also Secretary of State Murphy, right?
Uh-huh.
Henry Morgan, Alfred Ogden, Richard Patterson. I think that he was the father of the one who became treasurer or something. Paul Pennoyer, John D. Rockefeller III, George E. Roosevelt, George Saltzman, president of the English-speaking Union. That's important. Frank P. Shepard, Charles Welburn, Major General W.C. Westmoreland. Whoa.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
Vietnam.
Fraser Wild, J.H. Williams. The wives of almost all were also in attendance. That's nice. They didn't used to allow the wives in. Okay. From
back
power
in that
behind,
day, that's very unusual, is it not?
It is. It means the wives are very important. Because, you know, what I mean, I sent you the thing from Lenin and Hitler, right? I mean, Marx and Lenin.
We got him.
About the girls.
Behind
right?
Every good communist is a woman. Remember that. It's an old saying.
Absolutely. And you can't do it. The women are an absolute majority for communism. Men don't like it that much. Women really like it because they're
They love socialism. I don't know why, but they
do. Well, they think that the government is going to take care of the kids.
I guess that's it.
So they can go play or go get a job, right? I mean, that's been it all along. I know how they got the women on board. I know how they got the women, the women's movement going. It was, I think I talked to you about this. A friend of mine, great researcher from Michigan, she had a friend who was a congressman from Michigan who went to the White House conference on the family, I think, in 1970-something. And they got their orders and, you know, how to bring about, you know, increased inflation so that they could get the women, the women would be forced to leave the house and get a job. The Federal Reserve was instructed to increase inflation to such an extent that the women would have to leave the house because the cost of living was so expensive. Do you hear me?
I'm right here.
Did you ever hear that story before?
No.
It's true, because Betty, she's dead now, she had the documents from the congressional, you know, the congressional report that was given to her by the elected official from Michigan who was attended that conference. They had to get the women out of the house, right? Then they can get the government into the house, into the family, everything we're looking at now. But they did it by increasing inflation, the Federal Reserve. I wish I could talk to your listeners there. They're probably saying, you know,
they are all listening. They are listening raptly. They're very much interested in this. I know they are.
I know. They're probably wondering why I haven't had my teeth fixed so that I sound normal.
You sound normal enough. This is kind of like Skull and Bones, but worldwide, and nobody's ever heard of it. And how can that be?
I had heard of it.
A few people have heard of it. I've seen the name too, but I didn't know what it did.
It's just been sort of in passing.
No.
And it's both Democrats and Republicans. Let me make that very clear. And you'll be astonished when you see the list.
They dropped the name game right away. They don't claim to be any Democrat or Republican. Remember, the Pilgrim Society created Vladimir Lenin and communism. Just remember that.
Hey,
and
you know
pulled
what?
Off
you
the
just
Bolshevik
told me
Revolution.
Something. Hmm. You're brilliant. You know, when you can figure these things out.
I didn't figure it out.
What?
I'm just following along.
Well, it sure looks like it, doesn't it? I'm going down. What a pretty house it is. It says between April 22nd and May. That's unbelievable. I think I said that, read that before. May 10th. That's almost 3 weeks. Lenin stayed in the home of radical socialist.
Well, look at this guy.
What?
Philip Whitewell Wilson, 1875 to 1956. He was 30 years old at the time. At the peak of his radical revolutionary hormonal insanity. And he's he's sleeping with Lenin. I would bet.
Yeah, maybe.
Good pilgrims. Now, Lenin was coached in London by the Pilgrim Society founders. He visited there in 1902, 03, 1905, 1908, and 1911. And what happened in 1917? Okay, that's the Bolshevik Revolution. Lenin visited London.
This is incredible, isn't it?
On at least four occasions. Yes, in 1902, when he was 32 years old. Same age as Philip Whitewell Wilson.
Yeah. Gosh.
Lenin's second visit in 1905.
Did you see this? Are you reading from what I'm reading?
I'm reading from what you sent me. I'm reading from what you sent me.
It's well known that Lenin. No, this is it. History tells us the Bolshevik Revolution was carried out with relatively few people. To aid the Pilgrim Society's support for Lenin, Viscount Alfred Milner traveled to Russia in the spring of 1917 under orders from Parliament to deliver approved aid to the Tsar to fight the Bolsheviks. But Milner double-crossed the Tsar and Parliament and refused to give it. It's well known that Lenin received substantial funding from the Pilgrim Society member banks in London and New York. Within months of Milner's visit with the Russian Duma, Boy, Milner, huh? In Moscow, who the Pilgrim Society and Imminent Empire Press Union had hosted in London in 1909 during the Imperial, there's a lot of history here, press conference.
Phone. And get back on
Lenin's
your phone.
Arrival by train in St. Petersburg, Tsar Romanov and his entire family were assassinated, triggering the Bolshevik, parenthesis, Pilgrim Society, and takeover.
That's it.
I like these
now,
people. They don't mince words.
Whoever put this together is very, very smart. And we should make a note here that the Pilgrim Society went on to oversee the massacre and extermination of anywhere from 80 to 100 million people.
Yes. Horrible.
That's all. Mostly Christians.
This is unbelievable. You know, it's amazing how I found this, Jeff. I was pretty, I'm so tired. And I thought, I have these other papers that are pretty important, but, they're very small print. I've got to do something about that. I'll get it to you. But we did get you some other PDFs. But anyway, I just thought, well, why don't I just type in, Pilgrim Society? And I could have gotten anything other than this. Lenin, this popped up. It's just like God Almighty said, I'm going to give her a goodie.
Wow. I'm looking at the Pilgrim Society executives of the first imperial press conference. This is all tied in to the media, the news media. Understand that. The mechanism of mind control on the planet is the news media. Now,
that's
the
right.
First executives of this first imperial press conference include Earl Arthur James Balfour. Declaration.
Of course.
This was all set up. The Jews were in there in the beginning of this.
That's right.
This is remarkable.
I know. Look at the date on it. 1909.
Nice.
A parliament of the press. I mean, there's a lot of really fabulous.
This is
here.
There's a little bit more. It says
Cecil Rhodes first heir.
Yeah.
Said Winston Churchill. How do you like that?
Yeah.
He was all in favor of this stuff, too.
Okay, get back on your phone. Winston Churchill.
I am on it.
Oh, it sounds like you're drifting away.
Is it all right now?
Yes, thank you. Winston Churchill, president of the Board of Trade. Now, Churchill, we've got to remember, twice in his career, failed. He went bankrupt. And he was bought out at least one of those times by Bernard Baruch, arguably the wealthiest man of the last century. He owned Churchill like a little poodle. He owned
him. You want me to tell you a funny story?
No.
I had a friend who knew all these people. Her aunt had married into one of the families that knew these people. And we were visiting their house in the summer. I was about 12. And, little girls running all over the house. And the black maids, they were so sweet. I just loved them. I liked them the best because they liked us. You know how they are with little girls.
Yeah.
And we were playing hide and seek. And I went into a bedroom upstairs. And, it was Bernard Baruch.
Oh, that's funny.
It is funny. And
what was he doing?
I woke him up. What?
He was asleep?
I woke him up. And he was very nice, very polite. I didn't know who he was except the name. The name. And these people were all connected with that same crowd, right? And the Rockefellers and all of them together at that time, what was it, probably in 1940-something? I'd go over to that house. They had a big swimming pool and everything. My friend, her aunt, had married this wealthy guy. His name was Swope, S-W-O-P-E. Anyway, I met Bernard Baruch. I woke him up.
That's amazing he didn't throw the sheets back and invite you in. Here's another
one.
In fact, on March 5th, 1946, this is right after the war, The Pilgrim Society used the fatigue of World War II to officially combine British Empire intelligence with American intelligence, the FBI and the newly forming CIA and the NSA, all of them, in the infamous Five Eyes Agreement. It's all been under the same circus tent. All of it.
I love how this guy says, seeing from the eyes of a constitutional American, this Five Eyes Agreement is treason.
Whoa.
However,
how can it not be? It's radical
treason.
Seen
through the eyes of a Pilgrim Society member, it was, and when your listeners find out the people who were involved, hundreds, and people they thought were great Americans, huh? However, seen through the eyes of a Pilgrim Society member, it was merely another step toward the one world government they had pined for since the Cecil Rhodes Manifesto for an Anglo-American English-speaking one world government run by unelected Pilgrim Society corporations. This is a yummy.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one. This is a double dose of Enstrom's.
Look at this. Ground zero for the murder of over 260 million souls by the Pilgrim Society. What is that?
First
Imperial Press Conference, 1909.
A detailed record of that first Imperial Press Conference I mentioned, 1909, was kept. A record was kept. However, it had largely disappeared outside of approved snippets in doctored media intel stories. This is one of the best examples AFI researchers have seen to validate the adage that, quote, history is written by the winners, end quote.
Yep.
The winners in this case were the keepers of the Jesuit-like secrets of the Pilgrim Society. Hopefully they are about to start losing.
Well, I wish they would. Maybe if all of your listeners, you know, we've got to hold on to the tail of this thing. We don't have, I mean, what are people doing now? I mean, I feel sorry for the people who are out of work, and I feel sorry for the whole country, the whole world, right, because of this phony COVID thing. But this is something that we've been given a chunk. We've given something to really get our teeth into.
What we've gone over here explains already, validates, explains so much. The group that put this together is apparently known as AFI. I don't know who AFI is. We'll find out. All right, young lady, we will have you back here as soon as you're ready. So you've got a lot of, this is like having four steaks lined up at the same dinner table.
But I don't have the teeth.
I know. Well, we'll get someone to pre-chew it.
We have to make it into hamburger.
All right.
Thank you very much. And I hope your audience, I think that once we can get the little yummy jewels out there to them, they're probably interested, but they're probably saying, oh, I want to see it. I want to see it.
Well, you can look under Charlotte's name, and there's a huge PDF there, then the shorter one about Lenin and communism being created by the globalist newsmen.
Oh, yeah.
From the British American Pilgrims Society.
Right.
They started the cancer on the planet.
Get a little thing in here. Edward R. Murrow, he was a very important journalist.
Yeah.
He visited Moscow in 19 whatever when Beria was around, you know, the secret police guy who talked to them. And he instructed those Americans, professors and all, and media people like Edward R. Murrow. I never knew he was a communist. He was. And look him up. Beria instructed them to go back to the United States and set up a mental health clinic in every small town and city. Which is just what we're getting right now, aren't we?
They knew. Well, that's the beginning of the industry called mental health.
That's right.
Oh, these people, this is so evil. This answers a lot of questions. Now
well,
we know
God
who to look
Almighty
for.
Sent me that nugget.
Yeah.
He just felt sorry for me.
I'm going to send you the Carbon 60. I'm going to send you the Carbon 60 right away.
Please do. I know.
Will.
I got the the stuff from my gums. Thanks for that.
Sure.
Thank you.
Good night, dear.
And God bless your listeners. And I hope they have a nice week.
Indeed.
Bye.
Amen. All righty. Hey, women. See you soon. That was a bombshell, as they say, a nuclear bomb. I am amazed. So I urge all of you to take a look through this, spread it around. The last big secret, maybe, is out, at least geopolitically speaking. Be right back.